Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Vendettas Wrap-Up Podcast for Episode 2. I am Brian Cohn. With me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
I'm doing great. I could breathe through my nose, unlike last week. I don't have any tea, but there was plenty of tea to spill in the Twitter segment, as a little spoiler, so I'm doing great. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm glad you conquered your vendetta so early on in the season. It's great.
Yeah, I am glad that so early on in the season, we finally actually know somewhat, have like a somewhat clear understanding of what the season's going to look like.
We can never know all, because that is not the way the challenge works. So even though we're through an entire two episodes, there's still another twist that we still don't know about that could derail the game. But that's for, I guess, next week.
You know, I'm going to skip out of order here and just open with this question, because I think it's so top of mind for me, having just watched the show 5 seconds ago. Ashley Bedazowicz said, do you think this format is more confusing than the Big Brother US format for new viewers? I mean, I'm a lifelong viewer here, and it's a lot. So now that we have some idea, but even before we had some idea, do you think that having new people on the show is sort of like counteracted by the fact that it's an unfollowable format for someone? Like, let's put ourselves in the shoes of a new viewer. Mm-hmm.
I get that, but like, what would be the standard challenge format?
I don't know that it would be compared to the challenge. I think it'd be compared to like, this is the first time you're watching a television show and they don't tell you how it's going to work up front.
Yeah, that's totally fair, but like, that would go almost like so far against what the show kind of is at its core, right? Like, I mean, it hasn't been like straight up like this is like what the format is, like so easy to understand. I think in like years it feels like. So to go like backwards kind of just goes against what the show is, rather whether or not you're bringing out new people or not.
Right. So let's forget the way the show is. If you're a new viewer walking in now, like, I think there's definitely, it's easier to take the sort of haphazardness and randomness that has always sort of existed, but I think has really turned up in the last few seasons. Like, you're walking into the show, you know nothing about the history of the challenge, you don't care about the integrity of the show. Like, does this turn you off, or is this something you think is a, like, you could follow?
I feel like if I'm completely new, I'm probably intrigued, like, oh, what's a grenade? I'm going to come back next week and find out. Like, what are all these other vendettas? I want to find out more. I feel like if I know absolutely nothing, I'm kind of more intrigued that it's you're finding stuff out new each week.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd care about the vendettas, but I don't even have a complaint as an old viewer, that the old, like, crotchety viewer I am usually complains about this. I feel like the last three seasons has shook every care out of me, and I am fully on board for the randomness. Like, I am embracing the suck. And every time TJ says, wait, I have a grenade, wait, I have a kayak, what's the trio, the Chorig?
Troika.
Right. Like, I'm just like, great, cool. Like, if you just, I almost think maybe as a new viewer, like, it's confusing, but you have no expectations. So, like, MTV mm-hmm. has slowly beaten down all of my expectations over the past few seasons. So I just, like, am born anew. I'm a born again watcher.
Yeah, you just have to steer into the swerve with the challenge. Just enjoy where you're going. You may crash and burn, or you may end up safely on the road somewhere. I don't know, but you just got to steer into it and hope for the best.
Speaking of hoping for the best, we were hoping for not that much of a dragged out season. I know we're not alone in that, but there are some people who love the longer format. I think with this episode, 100% for sure, this is going to be a long season.
Yeah, because they could have cut out, I mean, we're up to the elimination, so we're probably, what, like 5 to 6 minutes of like episode left. They could have cut out 5 to 6 minutes of stuff and fit this into a normal episode, which leads me to believe we're headed down the barrel of, you know, coming like every other episode, someone goes home, which is crazy because now only one person is going home at a time. At least in other seasons when they've done this, we lose like two people at a time. Here, it's just one. So some people are going to last a long time.
I mean, normally they're stretching it out and it's like, okay, we didn't need to see that scene, or they really like laid into Tony here, or whatever it is. This time they've like changed the game format to stretch it out. like, we do not need to nominate three people, have a dinner, and then again vote someone in. Like, we'll talk about how that works in the game, but just from structurally, like, they've added an extra 7 to 10 minutes where nothing's going to happen each episode.
Yeah, there's deliberation for the deliberation, with other people deliberating that aren't in the deliberation.
See, I like this, though. This is like a lot of nods to Jersey Shore. We have the grenade, and now we have, like, the shirt before the shirt.
Yeah, there you go.
Now I'm interested again.
And they took cabs to get to the club.
All right, let's actually, I'll stop distracting us from this episode. I was really disappointed right away, because when Brittany's saying, like, oh, I really effed him over bad, I thought we were going to get some juice about Chuck from her relationship from Are You the One? But no.
Nope, we just get her spurning Leroy. And once again, someone other, like, people get backlash for, like, tossing away votes or doing other votes. And I know, like, the Tony stuff will never get brought up again. But here, like, Brittany tossing, like, a rogue vote, she's, like, the absolute reason why Leroy went home.
Why are they showing this? Because then I was like, is this going to pay off? Is Leroy going to win and want to put Brittany in? Like, what was going to... I was like, okay, this is such a non-issue that something has to happen now. But is this because they want to give Brittany as much camera time as possible because they're trying to make her a new star, although she's doing plenty to just get camera time? Or is this Leroy needs to be name-checked, or is this stall?
I mean, it's maybe like a combination of all of them. At first, I thought they just want to get Brittany airtime. But like you said, like, I mean, she wins like her round. Like, she's involved with Brad. She's involved in other stuff. So like, there are other scenes to involve her other than this, especially because, I mean, Leroy was not even close to being up for nomination this week, that there was no semblance of that coming up in any degree. So it was weird that this was tossed in, unless they're playing like the long game and, like, you know, a month from now on the second elimination that Leroy goes out to Brittany.
Yeah, that's possible. When Brittany won, I was like, oh, okay, she made the top three and, like, is gonna, like, put Leroy in. The other thing is, this, like, maybe just was like beating you over the head again with vendettas. Like, all of a sudden we're reminded that Brad made a negative tweet about Tony, so okay, he has a vendetta, check the box.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, Kayla, I still don't know, Kaylee,
it's Kaylee,
okay, British girl Kay and Melissa have a vendetta again. I don't think we get any more information than last week.
No, I think it's just basically over a guy, right? Like, you can cut the fat, and I think that's just what it's about.
I have written down here, Kaylee and Melissa, I don't care. Now I know how you guys feel when I talk. So I just took the time to roast myself. I didn't even listen to what they were saying.
That's a good level of self-esteem when you're roasting yourself in your own notes for a podcast.
It was just generally what I was thinking. Like, I just didn't care at all about this. So, all right, maybe it's just they want to beat us over the head. But I just wish, like, again, with the embrace of suck, you're saying steer into the skid, whatever it is. Like, let's just accept that this isn't a theme. MTV, stop beating us over the head with the vendettas. Like, you have the people you want here. We did a little drama in the first episode. Now let's just watch it spin out. Like, I don't need to watch 15 minutes convincing me that Brittany and Leroy are vendettas.
Well, the one thing I'll say is, depending upon the actual rules surrounding this grenade, they probably do need to specify who people's vendettas are in case specifically something happens with the grenade that forces you to go after, like, one specific person that is your vendetta.
So you don't think you're going to have choice? It's going to be like, your vendetta, Corey, is bananas. You must use this against him.
I think either that, or it's like, they're going to use it against this person, so they have to give a backstory as to why. And like maybe that's what it's leading up to. Like, Brittany using it against Leroy, or Leroy using it against Brittany at some point, and they just have to start building the case as to why that happens.
Is it possible that Leroy gets an advantage in the game and uses it against Brittany? Like, are you telling me that that's a real scenario that could happen? I believe anything. But
yeah,
like,
I mean,
believe that.
I mean, if he feels that, like, Brittany is going after him, and then she pits Brad against him, and then he gets a position of power, and Brittany continues to win, and, like, it shows that she's a force. Like, I mean, there's, like, a scenario where you can see it happening down the road.
I will watch it on my television if that's what happens, but I don't feel like there's a scenario. I feel like Leroy's too level-headed a player, like, too smart a player to go after Brittany. I mean, I guess you're saying he takes a hit at Brad and Brad's, like, let's say, safe, so he hits Brittany.
Yeah, basically. Maybe the grade is like, you have to, I was gonna say, use someone of the opposite sex, but that's not how the vendettas are kind of gender neutral. So I don't know. But there's got to be something that happens. Or maybe it's Britney specifically going out against Leroy.
If Britney or Leroy win this and they use it on one of the other two, we've had a bad season. That's my prediction.
All right.
I'm not saying it's impossible. Okay. I'm saying I don't like the season that's on.
I'm just curious to ask the rules of the grenade. I think that could be a fun twist to add, kind of like when they added like the cards for free agents. I think adding stuff around the actual eliminations is fun.
Yeah, I like that. And I have a couple questions for you when we get a little later in this episode. But we have to make a quick stop at your favorite couple, America's Sweethearts. You know, I was going to make a pun about fruit, but I got nothing.
They're just two peaches in the wind. I don't know, whatever it is. They're very happy. They're flirting. They're joyful.
Is that a Call Me by Your Name reference?
Sure, we can go with that. Natalie loves Bananas' immature side. So it's a weird like backhanded compliment, I guess.
I did like the little Bananas like basically telling himself he has to earn his stripes after his first performance. Like that was some nice like, yeah, you did badly. A little self-awareness from Bananas, which we don't get to see. You were all in on Bananas and Natalie right early on. A lot of people wrote in asking us again, is this Natalie doing it strategically? Is it she's the worst? Is she politicking? And I'm just kind of like, no. Like, we discussed this last week. Has your opinion on that changed at all?
I would say it's maybe a little more politicking than I would initially seem like. But even if it was, I don't understand why that's a bad thing on either end. Like, why would that make Natalie the worst? Or why would that make Bananas, skis? Like, that's smart for each side of it. Like, they're both gaining stuff out of it.
I totally agree. Like, I don't get why everybody's so upset about this. Like, I especially think when we get Natalie's confessions being like, yeah, like, I'm wary of Bananas. This is fun. Like, I'm still in the game. Like, and I know, like she said that I'm Big Brother with James and people, I think people have like PTSD with James and Natalie's situation, especially when they're including lines where like, I like him cause he's immature and like James is like the most immature person. So it's like, she has a type. People think she used
Bananas
James.
And James as similar types. You never thought you'd see that.
No, but in the sense of it's like this, like she's, oh, I like a guy who's immature. And I think people are still mad that they think she's faking it with James. I have no opinion on that. My only opinion on Bananas and Natalie is I think it's a nice, like, light spot to watch in the season. Like, I think they're more fun to watch than Cara and Kyle.
Yep.
And it's equal. They're like equally matched. Like, he's not taking advantage of her from what we can see now. Like, they're both having fun. They're both young. They're both single. They're both good looking. Like, what's the problem?
And as you see from Victor, it's a very formidable duo. I mean, I think we talked about this last week about how this could be dangerous for him if he's on Natalie's bad side, that Bananas can use his force against him at some point.
I did love when Victor's like, oh, Natalie's the one who knows me the best in the house. It's like, compared to nobody else who even knows who you are. Sure, right. She knows you the best in the house.
Yeah, setting the bar low.
We actually got a question about that. I'll jump ahead. Not so seamlessly. We basically got a question that... Okay, here we go. So later on in the episode, Victor's like not even contention to go in, and we'll talk about that. But Stephanie Sabo McCowan says, so I know that Victor was a third option to be Natalie's vendetta, but do you think the reason he isn't going into elimination is because IRL Natalie is fine with Victor, which would pretty much make him her ally and thus Bananas' ally?
There's a case to be made if they actually don't hate each other, that they could be together. We kind of see that on like when there's like a rival season or an exit season, that they're on good terms, that like that's like a huge advantage, because what's supposed to be like the biggest like downfall to your game is actually something that can help you. I mean, it would make all the sense in the world for any vendetta, even if they actually do hate each other, to work together.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a chance in hell that these two really dislike each other, because even on the show, like when Victor came back in the house, there was no problem. Like, this vendetta originated because they like had a pre-camera like flirtationship that broke up immediately before James. And like, they fought and everything's fine. I mean, I'm not a Big Brother expert, but that's my understanding. I don't think there was like any real possibility that they dislike each other, but I didn't think of the possibility that not only may they not dislike each other, but maybe Natalie is actually protecting Victor.
I think it's possible. It is weird that his name wasn't really talked about at all. I guess Corey kind of made it easy for himself at the liberation or whatever. But yeah, it's kind of a thing we're going to have to watch and see how that plays out.
Well, it's also Victor has no problem licking peaches to get on Banana's good side. So he's also not exactly like calling his shots to ruffle any feathers.
Yeah. I never really understand the logic of people who go like, I'm not going to like suck up. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. Like, why? Like, I don't get that mindset in a competitive show where you need to politic with people. I don't get people who try to take the moral high ground with that.
I don't either. I mean, there's like no one I wouldn't defer to and shake their hand for what's on the line. I mean, I would do it for $50, forget $500,000 or whatever, yeah. $350,000. I don't get that either. It's poor social game. It's pride. And there's like so much more ego in the challenge than even in most reality show games.
Yep.
All right. Let's get into the pirate couple of the hour, Kyle Maria.
Is that where we're going with Kyle Maria?
My mouth did not allow me to get two hard C's out. So.
they're an interesting couple. I mean, Cara definitely has a type. I mean, if you strip away like the British accent and add a little more crazy, I guess Kyle and Abram could be kind of similar.
Yeah, there was actually one scene where they like caught Kyle by like side profile, three-quarter profile, and it did kind of look like Abram to me. What I didn't understand was this big fake drum roll about like Kyle stuck with Marie. I'm like, this is MTV, gosh darn it. Like, nobody honors relationships when they have freaking children or are married. Mm-hmm. Like, why are we caring that you made out once when you were on Xanax?
Yeah, people don't stick relationships when the goal of a game is to stick with a relationship, as we see on other MTV shows, let alone on Challenge on a drunken hookup.
I do kind of like Kyle and Cara Maria having this conversation about like what she thinks is going to happen. Like, it's very funny to see someone who has absolutely no idea what's going to happen day to day on the challenge. Like, I'm definitely enjoying it more than I thought. And when Cara's like, I think it's going to be a water challenge, like, shocking prediction, Cara. Yeah. Like, and Kyle's like, oh, OK, cool. He's never seen an episode of the show.
Yeah. When in doubt, guess water, heights, or both, and you're probably on a good track.
What did you think about, I don't know where you watch the show or who you watch the show with. But did it get steamy where you were when you were watching Joss Klein in his short shorts?
That did nothing for me. And I was watching by myself for this episode. So it still did absolutely nothing for me. What about you?
I mean, look, be man enough to admit, like Leroy.
I mean, he's a good looking guy.
He's been on your mind.
He's a good looking guy. I don't know. Is guys cleaning, like, is that like a big fantasy for girls?
I don't think it was that he was like cleaning. I think it was that he was like really not wearing a lot of clothes.
I guess so, but they all don't wear a lot of clothes like all the time. It seemed like specifically that he was like, oh, like cleaning the counter. And he was like, ooh, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, I don't pretend to know what Brittany and Sylvia are thinking at any given time. Best for me to just not try to relate. I get flustered just thinking about it. But can we please talk about, I was watching this in the Michigan Law Library today because that's a place for work and this is a business. And that got a little uncomfortable. A little uncomfortable for all of my peers and colleagues, but everybody knows I'm a goon, so it was fine.
Yeah, it's a little MTV PG entertainment.
Yeah. Well, we can talk. Oh, we have to talk about Marie. I like feel really good about having taken like a minor stance for Marie yesterday or last week, whenever we did this, because I kind of was impressed with her with this conversation with her and Cara.
I mean, I could be impressed, but Cara didn't buy it for 1 second. So what's there to be impressed about?
Did you actually think she didn't buy it for 1 second? Because we got that in a confessional.
No, I think she didn't buy it for 1 second. Why would she look to Marie to mend the fence with her and Kayla when the crux of the argument was that just Kayla's young? Like how much younger is she possibly than Cara?
See, I think. You're right. I thought she was buying it. Then I saw the confessional. I'm like, OK, fine. However, I do think that Cara, for how tough she acts, is really desperate to be liked, especially by women in the house, given how like rejected she's been in her life and in the beginning of the show. and I'm probably reading way too much into this, but I thought Marie was saying exactly the things that Kara would want to hear. Like, she's young, she's immature, you're the bigger person, you're the experienced person. Like, we have to work together to get through this. Like, that's the cards we're dealt. Also, Kara doesn't really have any other options. Like, she kind of hit her there and kind of stroked her ego rather than saying, like, you're being immature. She's like, look, she's immature. Let's, like, be better for her. Mm-hmm. And whether or not she fully believes it, I definitely think it was the right play. Like, it was a good swing.
I mean, I guess it's worth the effort if you could somehow pull it off, but I don't know. It's one of those things where I wonder if this somehow gets back to Kayla, and then Kayla's like, wait, well, I don't want to work with her. Why are you putting me in a position to have to work with her? And then if Marie is somehow caught between them.
Well, then whatever. We lose Marie. I just thought this was, like, from Marie's standpoint, her best case scenario. Like, all Marie has is social game. And, you know, when she's on a couple Xannies, she doesn't have that. So, like, this was, I thought, if you're going to hit Kara at all, this is, like, this was the play.
Yeah, I guess it's worth the shot. It's worth the Hail Mary. So, sort of kudos.
And, like, you look at Kara, like, she goes to the reunion last year, right? And she's like, I have piping hot tea. And then you really just look at her and she's, like, gonna cry, you know? Like, she's like, well, you said this and you said that. And I really just think if Kayla had said, like, I'm sorry I hurt you. Like, you're right. It's a game, but I could have done right by you. Kara would be, like, eating out of the palm of Kayla's hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I guess there's something to it, but I just think maybe do it when, like, she's drunk, so that way she maybe, like, will confess something to you in the moment also.
That's fair. I just assume they're all drunk 24/7.
That's also fair.
They're either drunk or they're, like, slurring.
Mm-hmm. Those are the two options.
This was some more Marie bullshit with this Kyle thing. Like, I think they really blew that up. But kudos to British Kaylee, because that's a true friend. When Marie's, like, she's giving me mixed signals, he's giving me mixed signals to not be, like, yeah, you know, like, I'm sure he just, like, needs some space or some time or try again. Like, she's just like, look, he told me he likes Kara. Nip it in the bud. I'm moving to the UK. I was so in on that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good way to just, like, quickly move on. Just do what you have to do and just get out of there.
All right. Speaking of doing what you have to do and getting out of there, let's talk about the challenge and then get out of here, because I don't want to talk about the challenge.
Yeah, so we find out that, I guess, the money prize is going to continue. So they're each going to get $15,000 of their $25,000 split. So good job for everyone involved.
This is where I was, like, embracing the nonsense, because you mentioned last week, like, why wasn't it split or money for both the first place mm-hmm. women finisher and man finisher, female and male finishers? Like, this is just arbitrary now that a guy and a girl's going to get it when last week Josh got 25K.
Especially since they're doing the thing where it's, like, every other week, one of, like, gender safe. So I thought, like, why not just do, like, the top girl here gets 25,000, because for the guys, what you're getting is safety. Like, normally I feel like that's what they would do when there's, like, a monetary prize involved. Like, they would just give it to whoever isn't, you know, involved in it being eliminated that week.
I'm trying to think if they're trying to eliminate the Leroy strategy of free agents, where you don't want to be in the chicken neck, what's it called, the troika. You don't want to be in the troika, but you don't want to finish in last place, so you'll finish in the middle and your boys got you.
Yeah, I mean, there's some too, because now with, like, three people being at the top and you don't know who could make it there, that it is more dangerous to be a non-winner / loser. Less place to hide.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think, like, there's a possibility, like, the money incentivizes someone who'd be really safe. Like, I think, like, Leroy, I mean, until Brittany, his main rival, gets his, like, her hands on some power, like, Leroy's got to be pretty safe. Like, I'm thinking about some of the guys, like, there have to be guys that feel pretty safe where they wouldn't want to rock the boat by being in the troika. Mm-hmm. But 15, you add 15 grand, maybe they'll hustle.
Because it also makes it difficult for people who are very well liked to be voted in. Not only do you need one person who doesn't like you to win, you need two people, because that not only do you need to get nominated, you then need to get voted in.
Right.
So there's an extra layer for like a Leroy or people like that who don't have a lot of enemies that should be able to stay safe.
I did like that they gave Nicole the Jenna math edit this season. Edward Morris says, can you confirm that half of 25,000 is 15,000?
Yeah. Yeah, that I made the joke. It went It fell on deaf ears when we started talking about it, but it's okay.
I also think I just said 15,000 because I saw that question in my notes. I was like, oh, 15,000. Today in class, I'm taking a mergers and acquisitions. No one gives a shit. But the professor basically asked a class of 30 to or 60 law students. I don't even know how many people are in the class. 60 law students. Like the equivalent of what's the sum of these two numbers? And it was like you could hear a pin drop. Crickets, crickets. So I'm getting the Nicole Jenna math at it also.
I miss Jenna. Hope her ankle's doing better.
Yeah, could you be our Jenna correspondent? Check in on her from time to time.
Sure, I could try. It doesn't look good. I feel like she's gonna be out for a little while. I feel like that was a serious injury.
What happens first? The challenge gets canceled or Jenna comes back and does a season?
I guess Jenna? I don't know.
Yeah, I would take Jenna too.
I mean, I don't think the challenge is going anywhere. I mean, I think they're already ramping up for next season. Did you hear who may or may not have gotten the call?
We'll get to it.
Okay.
I mean, did I read the same question thread that you read?
I don't remember where I see some of this stuff, so I don't know.
I know you read the question thread this week because you commented on it. So when I was pulling questions right before this, I was like, oh, Brian, I'll know the questions this week.
I usually read the question thread.
I thought you said you like to not know the questions.
Sometimes, but then like when we're sometimes delayed on like recording because I suck, I get bored and I like to see it.
You don't suck. You're welcome to read the questions. Okay.
No, I do like having it be natural.
All right. You also can like read the question and not think about it. Like I pull the question and then just go away. And just like our listeners will after listening to this part. Speaking of pulling the questions, I wrote in my own segue here. Who knew we'd be talking about this? The advantage of being the person to pull the questions, I get to pull a major Brian roast, which I really enjoyed this week. So we finally find out about the Troika at this part of the challenge. The guys' elimination this week will alternate male-female eliminations. The top three people will be the Troika. Mike Christensen says, does Brian like that they just made up their own word of Troika for the grouping the same way they made up the word gulag for the eliminations and cutthroat?
Guys, it's so funny. Isn't it like another Russian thing, too? Like, they like going down like the Russian route.
I just think it's funny that you're like, isn't it a Russian thing? Your boy Bananas defined it for you.
I don't know. He actually knows what it was. It's wild.
Randy Newpole provided a definition. It is a noun, a Russian vehicle pulled by a team of three horses abreast or a group of three people working together, especially in an administrative or managerial capacity.
See, they should have went with the first definition and actually brought out the horse each time someone won and having be riding around on that.
Yeah, let's take this season into December. Let's just do a full year and we'll do an episode of equestrian stuff and chariots. It'll be great.
Perfect. Hey, we got the Troika, the Inquisition, grenades. It feels like an actual war scene.
Dressage is what I wanted to say, not equestrian. Damn it. Okay.
So close.
What did you think of this challenge?
I like that. I think it was a fun, like sort of goofy, but also athletic and kind of difficult challenge. That's kind of right up exactly what MTV strives for.
Did we set this up? Set up the challenge to some people. Ruin their lives by skipping the episode and just listening to the podcast.
Right. So for those people, there's a giant pit with, I guess, like foam and water and a whole bunch of, kind of like styrofoam balls
STDs,
or whatever.
STDs.
Yep. Probably some of those.
Troikas.
You have to jump down, grab one ball at a time and come back up, pulling yourself up through a rope. And you have to do it three times to finish.
Do you like this challenge?
Yeah, I think this is exactly what the challenges are. Well, athletic, but also like goofy.
I went to a foam party once in like eighth grade and this like gave me like shivers down my spine. It looked horrible. I liked the challenge in theory. I thought it was a boring watch.
Were you bored by the second, like for the first round, did you find yourself bored or did you bored because you already saw it and now you're just seeing it again?
Let's see. I love that Cam said secure the bag and that she has ambiguous investments to pay off. That I was very in on. I love that Corey forgot it's guy's day and somehow still thought Alicia could go home. Didn't want her in the bottom. And then I got bored. My next note is this is kind of boring. I don't know why. I just don't love when you can't. When it's just like a mess, it reminds me of like, although I did like that challenge, I'm thinking it was like that giant like dirt mountain. I don't know. Like you couldn't really see what was happening. it looked no different. You just had to wait for somebody to ring in the third time, you know, and the TV helped mm-hmm. you by with the little soccer ball counter. But and then we just watched the same thing again. Like there was no, I'd like it if there was a limited amount of balls, if it was almost like a musical chair situation. Like there's some drama each time they went up and down, but like watching like Alicia unable to get up and then like three women busted out was like, great.
Yeah, I think that actually would be a better way to do it. Like a couple round musical chair situation. That would be a better way. That adds a little more physicality and drama to it. So yeah, that probably would have got to us to it.
Who came in second for the women? I know it's Brittany, then someone, then Cam.
Kara.
Okay. I will say I am loving this new crop of female talent. I am loving Brittany getting the win here. I'm loving Cam showing up week after week. I love that it's kind of a mix from who won the mountain race. Yeah. Like we complained about, you know, the lack of strong women on the challenge. I feel like a new day, like Oprah, a new day is on the horizon.
Yeah, I just think the injection of all these new people. I mean, there has to be, what, like 7-8 new people from all across the shows for the season. I think it really was needed. I know people, for some reason, always complain when there's like new people added that aren't specifically Real World. But like, this is just a great injection of new people, new personalities, new dynamics that like it's so needed for a show that constantly brings back people. You need sometimes some new people mixed in.
Well, yeah, I never complained about Ari the One, but like, I don't know yet what Kaylee and Melissa are adding yet. I'm not convinced.
Yeah, that's fair. It's too low. I think I'm still optimistic about their chances to add stuff. I think, and if they don't, then, you know, cycle them out and bring in other new people. I'm fine bringing in new people from all walks of life.
I feel like you think it's like one step closer to the possibility that you get the call.
No, I never want to get the call. I'm good.
Let's talk about this Victor confessional, because I was just like, why are we even giving him this time? When it's like, oh, if I win, I'm going for the strong competitors. I don't care about the weak competitors. You ain't winning. Did anyone think he was going to win? It was so satisfying. It like literally, I was happy he's on the challenge to watch him just like inch up, sliding down in failure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this isn't Kansas anymore. It's not the Big Brother challenges here. This is the Big Boy League.
Somebody wrote, and I didn't pull it, like the equivalent of like, Victor was such a threat in Big Brother. What's going on? And somebody wrote last week after we did the show, I went back and looked at the questions that came in after the show. This really does, rather than me just shit on like the athleticism involved in Big Brother, it really does show like how athletic people really have to be on the challenge. Like if you had any mm-hmm. doubts, like you're taking the direct, like the strongest person in the house on Big Brother and putting him in the challenge and he can't compete.
Yeah. See, he's getting smoked.
Bananas, a redemption story, coming in first, Kyle making a showing in second, and Brad disappointing his lady, not making it a couple's first place day, coming in third.
Yep, but still good performance. And it was pretty shocking to see how bad Leroy and Nelson were. Although, I mean, Nelson's, again, always one of those guys that, like, if it's, like, a simple task, maybe you can do it. Any, like, thing that requires, like, thinking and process and the best way to go about something, he fails miserably, and that's what he did now.
Do we know how deep the water was? Like, do we give Leroy a swimming situation pass? Like, he didn't watch enough YouTube videos this go-around?
Yeah. Maybe YouTube channels were down this time around. I don't know. Not good.
So, yeah, Nelson finishes last. Although, when I went back and looked at the field, like, Zach, Corey, Tony, Devin, like, good on Devin. Right. Like he's doing a little mm-hmm. bit of his redemption. We saw him shirtless, not looking bad. Good on Devin.
Love connection.
Between who?
You and Devin.
I don't like pine for people on television, Brian. I know that's like an unfamiliar concept to you. But no, last week I was like, all right, you're in shape. Let's see some results. Good for him. But it's like such a strong field. Like I keep saying that, I keep resting on that. But like these men are like serious athletes, but yeah. No excuse for Nelson. You're in last place, you're going to the ring. You don't know you're going to the ring, but we know later it's going to be called the ring.
Yeah, which is again like, well, they really should just keep that. I wish they did that, just have one name for the elimination. They can change the way it looks. Like if they had one constant name for elimination, I think that would be cool, or at least come up with something better than just the ring.
I just thought like, really, you're going with Troika for the power couple and you're going with the ring for the gulag? Like usually yeah. It's like the crazy name for the one you don't need to say. I we're gonna have some fun with Troika, I feel like, but
Troika's fun. So is Inquisition. Inquisition's underrated because that's so like ridiculously like a serious thing to toss in like to the challenge is like so stupid, but it's great.
It's like one might say the gulag.
Yeah, perfect.
I need to know what you think though about the formation of the Troika. Jonathan Foreman says, how do you two feel about the Troika format? Are you concerned, as others are, that it might leave all the power with men every week? Before you get to this, Jonathan, you know as well as anyone else, I don't care how others are concerned, but okay, go ahead, Brian.
I would say I'm a little concerned, but I still think that because, you know, this is all building to like one person winning, that they're going to be varying the challenges to who it favors. So while this one probably did favor the men, I think there are going to be other challenges where it's a little more neutral, or even maybe we'll see pair challenge, or even like maybe they'll all be working in threes at some point and just like the winner gets in. So I think there are going to be variations where I'm not overly concerned that it's just going to be three guys or like two guys and one girl every week.
So my bigger concern is the Inquisition and how that's going to eat up unnecessary time. I don't want to believe that MTV could be so stupid. Like, they're not. They make an amazing show. Like, it, like as many blunders as there are format-wise, it's a great show. I can't believe that they would set something up without, like you're saying, having these safeguards, having it being mixed up, and just give, like, three brawny dudes the power each week to send women in. Like, I just, like, that cannot happen.
No, they're not that stupid.
That happens on the same season that Leroy and Brittany use a grenade on each other.
Yeah.
It could happen, but it'd be really stupid.
Yeah. So I think things will shift up.
But why I'm more concerned about the Inquisition, I kind of like the Troika format. I like that it's not just, oh, one man and one woman win, and like they each pick their, you know, shot. Like, I like that it's not so unanimous that you have to go duke it out. That, like you said, like, it's not enough to just have your enemy win. You have to have two of your enemies win to go in, or like you could have one really mouthy person on your side. Like, this kind of benefits like Devin, who can play a good social game, like in a Wes fashion, and sort of make moves here in ways that he wouldn't be able to otherwise. My concern is, I think we got lucky in this episode that the winners were who they were. And I don't know that it's always going to be. I found it to be an interesting deliberation who they were going to do and who are they going to ultimately put in. I don't know that it's ultimately going to be this interesting every time.
Yeah, see, what I think going forward, what I'm going to find most interesting and where I think they're going to be able to get the most out of is not even when like the Troika is like discussing who to vote in. I think like the Inquisition could be pretty interesting. If you see like with this week, Corey trying to like just come up with something out of nowhere and it's like totally torpedoes his game. But like, it's possible going down the line, someone else could believe that, or even if there is a real thing to blow up, they can bring it up in that moment. So I think that is the better introduction. I just wish they should just like the three winners, like each one should just get a pick and they don't even just discuss who they're each picking. And then it pops up and like everyone else just finds out at the same time. Like there's no need for the three of them to discuss who they're voting for. They each just get a vote and like that's it. And then like the bigger thing is the Inquisition. That's where I think the meat is.
So we had a question about that. Alex RQ says, why were they arguing about who they were voting in against Nelson and the Troika when each person had their own vote? And why didn't the UK guy pick his UK vendetta if they all had their own vote? Well, for that reason, his vendetta went home. I think his vendetta was Rogan, right?
Yeah.
But Kyle was very quiet during this deliberation. And it really came down to Bananas picked a guy, Brad picked a guy, and then they negotiated on the third guy.
Yeah, I disagree with the way the premise. I don't think it's literally each person has a vote. I think that's the way it probably should be, or the way it should be. But it's just not the way it is. Like, I think it could be totally up for negotiation for each one.
I think it's also possible he meant for the ring, but either way, I mean, I think it's up for the people who are in the Troika. Like, I could see three people with different interests just saying like, well, let's all just pick someone. And we'll work it out in the vote, like, just because whatever, like Brad. And I mean, I was really impressed with Brad that Brad was able to keep Devin off the table when he got Tony on the table. Like, basically, Brad's not really close with Corey, and Bananas uses his pick on Corey. And then Brad's able to protect his man and put up Bananas' man. Now, it didn't end up panning out, but I thought that was impressive strategy from Brad.
Yeah, it was good on Brad almost all the way through until he couldn't get the guy that he wanted voted in. So kind of did well until it flamed out miserably.
I want to just loop back to the shower strategy session. I really liked the talking in the shower. Will Seabond says, is Brad, Brittany, Devin, Shane alliance the greatest thing we could have ever asked for?
It's a motley crew. It's a motley crew that you know, if you were literally throwing darts against the wall, that could be where you may end up.
I do like that Shane called, I believe, and I didn't have time to rewind. I believe Bananas called Bananas Banana, or sorry, Shane called Bananas Banana. And I would like to start, it's like the new John, a John Banana.
Well, maybe if he's like, when he's just, you're talking about just himself, it's Banana. And then when you're talking about his crew, it's Bananas.
That's a stretch. That's like, no. As far as the Brad, Brittany, Devin, Shane alliance, I agree. It's a motley crew. I don't think it really has legs. I mean, they can all perform, so that's promising for them. And they all have mouths. Like, if someone's going to talk their way into a, like, if this couldn't be a better Troika, like, the Troika and the Inquisition couldn't be better for Devin and Shane.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I did love, I think it was, like, the scene where Brittany's trying to describe to Brad.
Oh, hold me back.
Later, but that is, like, I can't believe Brad was like, are you kidding me right now? Like, do you know who I am? Like, that's like freaking like Robin telling like Batman, like, to watch out for the Joker. Like, are you kidding me?
She was like 2 years old when Brad was last on. So in fairness, she like wasn't at MTV's target age. But yeah, that was like, I was sweating. Like, I was like, are you kidding me? You'd think they've been so in the house so long, like Brad would have like talked about his relationships with people in the house. Seriously. In the past. Guys, I don't know if you know this, Brian, but Bananas is a manipulator.
You better watch out for him. He may lie.
Oh my God. Yeah. But I did lose a little faith in Brad when Brad couldn't get this done today. Although I don't know how really set on having Tony go in Brad was, but we'll talk about it. They ultimately decide to put up Tony, Corey, and Victor. Tony is pissed. Fair enough. Did Tony sink his ship by not kissing ass, as you said, or was he like probably advised by Bananas to do nothing and that was the right move?
I think he sunk his ship because he shaved his hair. Maybe people like weren't going to vote for him, and they're like, who's this weirdo with shaved hair? We don't recognize, we're going to vote for him.
I think being incognito is probably the best thing Tony could do.
At least incognito from some of the females he's pissed off in the past.
I think Tony needs to full time be wearing the like Groucho Marx like nose and mustache and eyebrows glasses. I think that could only improve his situation.
He should go by Sony instead of Tony.
Sure. That is his own its own issues. One thing that pissed me off too before we let you loose on the Inquisition, because you loved it so much, the fact that Alicia's reaction is that she would be next after Corey. Like, Alicia, this could not have less to do with you. Nobody is getting Corey out because he thinks you guys are a power couple. It's him and his boyfriend, Nelson.
That's it. Yeah, that's pretty presumptuous of Alicia to think she's like that important in the game structure right now. That, oh, we can get out Corey. That means Alicia is free to guitar gate. Oh, thank goodness.
I almost think that Corey leaving is one of the best things that could happen. Well, probably not, because he will protect her, but like, I don't think Corey is like really putting the target on Alicia's back.
Yeah. No. If Corey goes home, then Alicia, could go the Tony ride and be incognito for the rest of the life. Might be better.
All right. So let's talk about the Inquisition dinner that was never served.
Yeah. So the meat of it is Corey coming up with this plan.
No, there was no meat. There were plates were empty, Brian.
Oh, I didn't even notice there were no. So it was like the bachelor where they just gave him like fake food or not even real.
It was
like
a
no
straight up empty plate, and they had what could have been red wine or soda.
All right. Well, at least they have some either sugar or alcohol. So they have that going for them. But Corey comes up with the lie that Victor is in alliance with Brad, Shane, and Devin, and they're all plotting against Bananas.
Au contraire, mon frère. I have a file. Literally, I wrote this in a file folder while I was doing work last night. You didn't catch Mr. Corey's Instagram live yesterday.
Oh, wow, I did not. That slipped by me.
The files are in the computer. Okay. So, according to Corey, what Brian is accurately setting up from what we saw on the show, which I'm with you, Brian. I watched the show I watched. Like, that's what happened.
Thank you.
But I don't know if you felt it was a little too weird. It seemed to me like it was completely obvious that Victor, that basically Corey calls out the misfits. To me, that's completely obvious that Brad would be working with them. They're misfits. And that they'd be targeting Bananas. I don't know why that was this big shock. And then you have Victor being the worst liar I've ever seen in my life. Who, like, they even flashed, he had, like, a big smile. And he was like, this is a very serious allegation. You know, it's like why he got voted out 6 times in the Big Brother house. Anyway, it seemed a little too fishy. That said, I did watch the video before I watched the show. So maybe that's why I was on the case. Corey reports that Victor made a deal with him, Devin, Joss, to team up and get Bananas out. It says, I wrote Josh. I imagine it's Joss. Then he's like, Corey's the only real one. They're all fake. That's why he doesn't rock with them. And he tweeted about this too. I'll get to it later. Basically, Corey is saying that he had this alliance with them and then he took it to the table to try to make a last ditch effort. And they were all like, you're lying. But that they actually had made a deal that didn't make air. And Corey complains that MTV always tries to make him look dumb and that he's matured. He didn't say that, but he's matured and he's grown and they never show that. And they always show him just being this like womanizing dummy.
I would say of all the things that they, yeah, that I think the womanizing they've taken very lightly on him. I think yeah. The dummy part is fair.
So what do you think about that?
I think Corey's just a dummy. That's where I'll land on that one. And I feel very comfortable, staking my claim in that ground.
Well, so when I was watching this then, because of the Instagram video, I just thought this was a bad move. It's a bad move if he's lying, right? Like you said, it's a bad move. But it's almost a worse move if he's telling the truth. Because to me, Bananas is never going to be on your side here. You only need 2 out of 3. Brad can think for himself. It's not like you've got one of Bananas' goons. And you got the Brit from the UK who doesn't know anything, but who's shacking up with Cara, who hates Bananas. So, like, mm-hmm. To me, this is the best hand Corey could have been dealt, considering he's Bananas' number one target. Brad even says he has nothing to go on. So why are you trying to turn Bananas and throw Victor under the bus? Why not try to turn Brad and Kyle?
A great question. That's the way to go. Like, yeah, he should be using them to be like, don't let Bananas get his way this early on in the game. We have to do something despite him. And that's how you get Tony. You don't get Tony by pissing off Brad.
Plus, Bananas will never put in Tony. So I just, like, even if you sway him, like, what's the goal?
I guess Victor. I guess he was trying to get Victor, right?
But even then, if you made a deal with Victor, like, why throw your entire game away when you're, like, positioned to keep your alliance with Brad and Victor and Shane and Devin and just try to sway Kyle with Kara's, power of the feminine wiles?
Yeah, it was a weird, considering the people that were eligible to be voted in and the ones that were voting in, it was a weird combination of people to say we're working together to go against Bananas.
So basically, Corey made this whole thing like, they didn't show it. We had this alliance. And I'm like, all right, if you had that alliance, you're so stupid. Like, you should hope that people, like, you're lucky MTV just made it seem like you were making a Hail Mary.
Yeah. If anything, and if you had that alliance, like, wouldn't that be just a good thing? Because then it's like, oh, this is great. Then I have this alliance and Brad won't go after me. Like, why would Bananas think it's true? Because there would be nothing for you to gain for blowing up your own alliance in a spot where you would theoretically have the number.
Correct.
So, Corey's just a dumb. I'm just going with Corey's a dumb.
All right. I do like, I did think the tension of, and it's kind of how you're saying, you don't need the deliberation before the deliberation. I do like 3 people knowing they've been put on the block and having to, like, go out and party.
Yep. And I like I said, I think it would add even more if, like, the other 2 people who were in power didn't know who was going to be nominated. Like, they're all finding out at the same time. I think that would add another fun layer.
Wait, say that again?
Like, instead of the 3 people, the Troika deliberating who's going to go in, they should each just anonymously vote someone, and then everyone just sees the 3 people as they come up on screen.
Oh, you mean the Troika? Because that is what happens to the public, like, to the rest of the house.
Right, the public finds out, but I think, like, what they should have done is, like, Kyle just votes someone in.
Bananas just votes someone in, and Brad just votes someone in. Like, they, and no one else, like, the other two don't know who the other one's voting in.
Yeah, like, what if they vote for two people the same?
Well, then I guess, you know, you get, like, Family Feud. Next.
See, I don't mind. I don't know what I don't like yet, right? Like, I don't mind it on theory. I think it's too long. Like, I think the idea to shorten it, to build the tension, is good. But I do like the opportunity that, like, you can protect your man. Like, you can say, no, I'm not putting Devin up. And, like, there's a negotiation rather than that locked-in vote.
I just think it's a lot to have two different sets of negotiations for the same vote. I think that's a lot.
I do agree with that, too. But it's almost like the Troika, it needs to be the Troika negotiates who goes up, and then we don't see the Troika talk again. We just see the people who are up talk to the Troika. Like, I don't want to see Brad and Kyle again discuss who they're going to vote for.
Right. Or then discuss it again at the club. Although that was interesting.
It is funny. I like that Kara's supporting voting Kyle voting for Tony. Never call her your old mother. Yep. She'll remember that shit. It won't work, but she'll remember.
She will indeed.
Even a pirate can retain that information.
Even if you don't want to be a pirate.
Who do you think is going to be the first one of us to say R on the show, not including that?
Probably me. That sounds like a me joke.
I was going to say I was going to go with you. I shouldn't have even said it.
Yeah, that's a me joke.
But it was so close. I wanted to say it so badly, but I felt like you're going to say it later in the season, so I'll wait.
Yeah, it'll come up.
wait. More on that. Keep tuning in, guys. Subscribe at...
R.
Okay. Oh, there it is. that wasn't bad.
I can do worse.
I did think, who did you think was going in when we get to the ring?
See, I'm really stupid. Like, I fall for all, like, the very obvious MTV tricks, and I really thought that they were going to get Tony to go in.
I don't think that means you're stupid.
Okay.
I also thought, like, once Kyle, Corey, Nelson have that handshake, and Kyle's not coming from a game, like, in Jordy Shore, they don't, like, cut people off. Like, it's like, you live in the house and you become family. Like, so I just, Kyle's not from the school of, like, yeah, I'm going to slit your throat, haha. And so I was like, okay, like, Nelson's got his back. He's saying, Tony has said nothing to me. And then his lady supports it. Yeah. And I didn't think Brad wanted to. I thought Brad wanted to come in and make a big move. When, who got voted in? Corey got voted in. I thought, okay, this whole thing was a sham. They were never going to put in Tony.
Yeah, that's the way I viewed it. Also, like, all those conversations were, like, completely BS, and they all knew. But, like, for me, I don't even get why. Like, what does Kyle gain from lying there? Like, that's just a lie for the sake of lying. Unless it was, like, so early on in the night, and then, like, it was just so abundantly clear where his vote was going. But I just don't understand the point of lying for lying's sake.
I don't think Kyle was the swing. Like, I actually don't know that Kyle was lying. I think then Kyle maybe had a conversation with Brad and Bananas, and they were like, no, we're voting for Corey. Because I just do think Nelson being the person in the elimination made it too sweet. I wonder if... Yeah. It was Leroy.
I mean, it was like the perfect storm when you have like two people that are so clearly together, and that, like, given the right circumstances, could be tough eliminations for everyone else in the future. That it's just so perfect to put them against each other.
Yeah, agree. So I wasn't mad at it. I think it was probably the right move. And once they started with Bananas and Kyle was next, I was like, all right, they're, you know, like, if Brad was going to vote for Corey and this was really Kyle just making a rogue move, there's no way he's the second vote to Bananas.
That's true. And if it was, like, even potentially up, and Brad got off the hook, then he didn't have to go against Tony in that moment.
Yeah, but he, like, firmly was like, and I also vote for Corey.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, in the back of my head, I was thinking, oh, he's just too old, so he's just going to do it. Because it's a moot vote at that point. But Les was just clearly decided.
And also Brad says, like, I don't have a relationship with anyone. So... I think Corey showed himself at that. I think it was over probably before that dinner, but it was definitely over after the Inquisition.
Yeah. Yeah. He was probably a dead man walking, and he just handed them the shovel.
Andrew Shadlock says, is anyone else ever going to go after Bananas after what keeps happening to Corey?
I mean, I think there's a way to go about it. I think the way Corey's gone about it is just, like, incredibly awful.
Yeah. Corey doesn't have a good social game. Like, he's got the balls or, like, the chutzpah to actually, like, take on Bananas and be willing to get eliminated for it, which a lot of people don't have. So he's not all talk, but he doesn't have the finesse to, like, get build an army and to get it done. And he doesn't have a sense of timing.
Yeah, and his number one, like his number one ally is like Nelson. That's not a good semblance of an alliance.
We talked about the grenade. We're looking forward to it. Anytime TJ gets to keep a secret, it's a good time.
Yep. Wish we had a confessional about him keeping a secret, though. Little did they know, there's a grenade coming.
Okay, Gregory Contreras, this is a little early for this, but he says it too, so I didn't need to say that. He says, we didn't have a preview podcast, which I'll say is because they dropped that the season was going to air and the cast like over the holidays. So don't come crying to me, Gregory Contreras. Anyway, we didn't have a preview podcast this season, and I know it's a little early, but can we hear your power rankings for the guys and girls this season? Top five will do.
Top five. Oh, that's it. Top five will do.
Well, we could do it. We could do it like they do it and just male, female together and five only.
OK, that's fair. Let's see.
Or you give two people. Wait, he's not here.
What?
Gregory Contreras isn't here. You could do as many people or three people as you want.
So what? I mean, I guess I want to put Nicole up there, but she's just so incredibly dumb with some things that like it's very hard to see her doing well in like what we know as a final because of like the puzzles and stuff they put in. So I just like that'll always be her Achilles here. So I'll put Kara as like the top girl with Cam. I think Cam could do very well this season.
Okay, so that's it.
And then I'll toss in Bananas, and I'll put in maybe Leroy goes on a run. And I'll put in Brad up there.
My four, in no particular order, but I could put them in order right now. Bananas, Kara, Brad, Natalie. I just think Natalie has athletic ability enough to sort of sustain. And being in with Bananas like this is incredibly useful. I think Bananas is, we saw today, always gets his man. Even when he shouldn't. Although, hard to say with this elimination because this was, I think, the right move for everyone with Nelson being in the bottom. But even when it's like stacked against him, he really has to do very little and people still fold to him. I think Cam was also close. I agree. I'd love to see Cam keep doing really well. I think she's focused on the right things. Kara, now with this new romance in Kyle, I think is going to have a new spark lit in her, and she's already an athletic beast. And I think Brad has a lot to prove I don't think he has anything to prove, but I think Brad feels like he has a lot to prove. So I think that's going to take him far, too.
Yeah. I mean, he looks like he went to a really big West workouts before the season started. So I think he's definitely looking to prove himself, especially with the whole situation with Tori and coming back on screen and all that. So, yeah, he's ready to make his mark.
OK, so let's talk social media. Thank you to our digital communications manager, Megan Elizabeth. Not much happened on social media during the episode. All the straight tea happened after. So I'm glad I was watching after the show. Where should we start? Let's start talking about Eddie.
Talk about Eddie, because this is a wild situation.
Turns out MTV knows what the right thing is to do, just only if that person isn't famous and essential to their brand yet.
So do we have the full like story of when this went down, like how far into the season, like all the specifics about this?
Here's what I have for you. I have what Corey said on his Instagram live. I have an Instagram post from Alicia and I have tweets from Corey.
Okay.
So no, I don't have the full story.
So no full story, but we have pieces. And we have a result. Result is Eddie is not on this season.
I will show you first what I first saw. We will experience this as I experienced it. So Corey started tweeting, one, Eddie left because Alicia has a restraining order against him. Two, Victor made that deal with me 2 days before saying, let's take Bananas out. Why would I just make that up? Three, it's Johnny's show. Four, only the fake survive. Okay. He said, okay, I can't just be quiet. I think it's funny how MTV didn't want to show me standing up for domestic violence at all. But wait, they are quick to make me look stupid. I'm not with the fake bullshit. They tell the true story. The real survive. It's sad. Fist emoji. Then he says they want to put people down, show them in a negative light any chance they get. Anytime we do something positive, they don't care. We had a fight We had to fight them and basically protest for them to show the Camille and Leroy footage last season. Okay. Then, you know I'm tuning into his Instagram live when I see that.
Of course.
So he said that Eddie came to, and I have a lot of problems with even the setup of this, but this is what Corey said. Eddie came to Corey and asked for permission to talk to Alicia. And he said, sure, but I'm going to be right there listening. Then Eddie started getting loud. Corey could tell that her demeanor changed and that she was scared, indicating to him that they've had issues in the past. Again, this is as Corey tells it. Corey says that he heard Eddie call her a bitch. Eddie maintains he did not call her a bitch. Okay. And then basically Eddie was yelling at her and he took a stand for domestic violence and MTV doesn't want to show that. Alicia says, Corey did the right thing that night. I would never lie about something to that magnitude. There are cast and family that were there for me during that time period. It's very sad. People chose to degrade me continuously. MTV didn't show because of how it came out. To my knowledge, and from here on out, people need to effing respect each other and their situations. So from all of this, a couple of outlets have reported, like, people who do stuff like this. And on Venmo, that basically there was a domestic violence situation while Alicia and Eddie were dating. And Alicia reportedly told the producers on the show. So I don't know if they didn't know this beforehand, but Eddie was asked to leave and has been completely edited out of the show. And people said that he left before this challenge even happened, like after the first challenge, but he was gone for this one. And they're just never going to say anything.
I mean, I don't know. It's weird. Would you rather them show? I don't know. Would you rather them show it? I don't know. I mean, it happened, but like, does it add to like the season? I mean, they probably should show it.
I don't know what happened, right? Like, I don't, from what I'm hearing, and please correct me, like you or the general you listening, if there's more information, it doesn't seem like it seems like this was an issue that happened before they came to the show while they were in a relationship. And Alicia either thought she could handle it and was like triggered or like he was mm-hmm. getting loud with her and it scared her, or she didn't know he was going to be on the show and then was like, he's got to go. Like, I don't think it was like some big blow up like Simone and Tony's brother, Shane, I forgot his name. So Simone and Shane, like where it got violent on the show. That's nothing. I haven't heard anything like there was this big blow up besides Corey saying like they were having a loud discussion where Alicia got scared. Which is that she got scared. I'm not trying to say that wasn't a big deal. But.
Yeah. What this reminds me of, going way back in the annals of reality TV, there was a season of Celebrity Apprentice where Trump fired, I think it was Khloe Kardashian or one of the Kardashians, because like she had to miss a day for like a DUI that she had like months ago. But like all the people knew that was coming. But like just to make a stand against it, he fired her for then. This reminds me of that.
Yeah. When I say they should have, now I'm just thinking when you're like, should they have shown it? I don't think they should have been like, you don't know what Alicia wanted. We don't know what anyone wanted. I don't know that, like, I don't know anything that happened where I could be like, that should have been shown. I think it's strange that it's not, like, I think TJ should come in and be like, Eddie had to leave the house last night. We're moving forward with the men we have, or we're bringing someone in. Like, I think it should be like, Eddie had to go. And not just like we pretend he was never a cast on the show and we're just a man down.
Right. It's very odd. So that means there is one more woman than man right now, right?
Which is strange that they didn't just make a female elimination. Like people. So I'm not 100% clear on the timing.
Yeah, it's very odd. Very odd.
Okay, that's not my favorite story. My favorite story, because that's not anyone's favorite story. That's sad. I feel bad for Alicia. I'm happy everything seems to not be in a dangerous situation in the house. I'm glad it's not exploited. Okay. The piping hot tea of the week. Okay. The challenge tweets out, which is not the actual challenge account, challenge MTV underscore, the awkward moment when you get your current girlfriend the same gift as your ex-wife. And Brittany had put on Instagram, when babe sends you a bike for Christmas and it's Moto Bécane. Do you know how to pronounce this? Am I like botching it? I'm not athletic.
I am so far removed from the motorbike world, so no.
Okay, it's just like a bicycle. I think it's like a mountain bike.
Yeah, still very far removed.
And Tori tweets, TBT, to that time I got this awesome Moto Bécane bike for Christmas 2 years ago. Such a thoughtful and unique gift. Laugh cry emoji, shrug emoji, picture of the bike. Ooh!
Tori's having the best season of anyone on this season.
I mean, she's like truly having the worst season, but like, wow, is she handling it amazing? Wow, 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 wow. I thought she was handling it amazing last week. Every week, I hope there's like something just a little like, oops, did I drop that right there? Oops.
Yeah, that's some real tea, Cara. Take note.
So then somebody wrote, not sure who should be upset, wife or new girlfriend. She writes, neither. We got good bikes out of the deal. Amazing. And to add insult to injury, do you know that Brad is a DJ?
No, but I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
So Brad's like fully having a midlife crisis. Like if you go to his Instagram, it's kind of sad because he's like, yeah, like I'll be at this club and he's like spitting his tracks and whatever. His name, though, I caught for the first time. I like didn't think that was worth reporting, but I just caught his little MTV bio.
Oh, boy.
DJ Plan B.
Oh, Jesus.
That's a father figure. DJ Plan B.
And Mac Kids is How I Met Your Father.
And we can kick this to next week. We'll just put it into the atmosphere because you brought it up. Will C. Bond said Figgy and Taylor from Survivor 33 were contacted by casting for next season. Discuss. This is reported from Venmo.
I love it. Sign me up. I could not sign on the dotted line faster enough right now for those two to join this world.
I'm just so surprised that CBS is so okay. Like, I really want to know, like, the situation. Maybe
I feel like someone met at, like, a cocktail hour party, like a CBS executive, an MTV executive. They're like, oh, we should just combine forces. Because this is, it's, like, wild that all these people are trying to cross mingle.
I think the initiation was Celebrity Big Brother. And then they're like, sure, you can have our scrubs that we're never going to put back on the show.
It's so interesting, though, but like even to like the reach over to that world to consider like bananas a celebrity.
I think Figgy and Taylor were two of the most insufferable people on television. So like I won't even start bitching about Survivor being included. Fine. Although we're going to have to like defend our podcast at the gates, like close the gates. Like,
I disagree. I think they're insufferable because they were dropped into the Survivor world. I think they were just in the wrong world. I think they're when they're in the challenge world, it's so like that's what they're there for. That's their place.
Okay, I'm open. I still think maybe Figgy. I think Taylor is the worst. Like, let's put Jay on. Give me Jay. But Survivor wants Jay again to come back, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And then let me just thank our 5-star review. Oh, wait. I forgot to plug our 5-star reviews last week. So I will assume that's why we didn't get any. We got awesome comments. It was so great to read your guys' feedback at robiswebsite.com. Just on the page. It's great to know people are out there listening to this buffoonery. If you want to let us know this season that you're enjoying it, please leave us a review. robiswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. I checked like as many times as I've been checking for my grades to get posted. It was so sad that neither one of them got posted.
Well, hopefully we get plenty of 5-stars and plenty of A's. That's what we're rooting for.
It's like, lower your standards. We'll keep the 5-stars. All right. That's it though.
All right. We'll be back next week for episode 3. You can follow me on Twitter at @CullenBryan_, and they can follow you.
At @RabHasAWebsite.com/challenge iTunes. No, @LashTweets.
That's it. Until then, have a good one.